Hello and welcome back to your local video store, Videorama, where we got the Five Night Rentals and we make your movie suggestions battle it out in the theme dome. Yeah. We got a phone call from an old lady who wants her grandkids to leave the house, so she wants obscure killer doll movies. This is Videorama, and I'm Adrian.
And I'm Donnie.
Hi.
I'm Linda, but you could call me the cheese, maybe?
Yeah. People call you stuff.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Oh, that old chestnut.
I'm the video llama.
Oh, Linda.
Chestnuts.
Yeah. Speaking of old, we went back to 1972 for my killer doll selection, which is an anthology horror movie which has killer dolls in part of it. Can't have killer dolls in every scene. What do you want? God. Your movie didn't even have a killer doll in every scene.
I want a good movie.
Had a killer doll.
Yeah, Herbert Lom. So this is from Amicus Productions. This is Asylum, directed by Roy Ward Baker and written by Robert Block, who you people probably know as the author of Psycho, even though he did a fuckload of things over a career that lasted over 40 years.
And
he was
porn.
Pals with H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard back in the day at Weird Tales when he was like a teenager writing for Weird Tales. Like, he has done quite a bit, written quite a few screenplays, and he wrote multiple anthology movies for Amicus, including Torture Garden.
Amicus.
Yeah, Amicus is the British film production company. They were sort of competition for a Hammer Horror, but they mostly focused in on doing anthologies. They also are the ones who did those 1970s Edgar Rice Burroughs adaptations, like The Land That Time Forgot and At the Earth's Core. The more you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what made you choose this one?
Y'all were like, hey, it's the movie's got to have killer dolls. I'm like, oh, man, is there a killer doll movie I don't hate? Oh, man, this is hard. I'm like, hey, Amicus makes those anthologies. Those are solid. Here we go.
Wait,
plus, Robert? This thing's got a fucking epic cast. Like, you got Robert Powell in there is the psychiatrist guy who comes to the asylum, who you may remember as Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh.
He made me feel funny in my pants.
He made a lot of people feel funny in their pants. He kept getting cast. He's got those big doughy eyes. And,
I was,
you know,
like, Jesus, save me.
yeah, that's Robert. Well, yeah, he was also in a weird Australian movie called Harlequin, aka Dark Forces, with David Hemmings, where he's like this god devil guy who like inserts himself into like this political guy's life and makes friends with his son and may or may not be a murderous rapist. It's real. Look it up.
And in our first killer doll story, you've got Peter Cushing.
Yeah, Peter could, yeah, in the segment called The Weird Tailor, Peter Cushing, Mr. Smith, comes to the poor tailor shop, and he says, oh, I wish you could make a suit for me out of this magical material. You may only work at certain hours, sir. Ah, Gavolt, were you Grand Moff Tarkin or something?
And yeah. You may and recognize him from Top Gun. Or Top Gun. Top Secret.
Top Gun.
That's the
yes,
one.
Top Secret.
It's been a long day already, man. Like, I only got up a couple hours ago.
Well, what the heck with you? What the heck with you not managing your shit better?
Yeah. I slept through my alarm.
But yeah, no, there's the segment where the useless husband and the wife who won't give him the divorce, and so the husband and the mistress contrive to murder the wife and put her in a fridge. Only she's part of a mystical cult, so she's got a spooky bracelet. And so he's portioned up all the body parts.
But it's not voodoo.
He's wrapped them in brown paper and twine, and then the body parts come to get them. Which is kind of like Clark Ashton Smith's Return of the Sorcerer.
I actually laughed out loud when Because I don't usually like punny humor, but I laughed out loud when he just said, rest in pieces. I'm like, it's just so fucking
what
dumb.
What else are you going to say when you just chopped up your bitch wife? yeah, and you get from there you get the Wea Taylor, and so there's the suit of magical material, which it turns out Peter Cushing doesn't have any money, even though the Taylor needs money. And he's going to put it on the corpse of his son to reanimate him. And he's like, you're a psycho. What the hell? And Peter Cushing whips out a gun and they fight. And Peter Cushing winds up dead. Then the daughter puts the suit on the mannequin. She won't destroy it because she's friends with the mannequin. And it brings him to life.
Yeah, what a sad life she must live. What a sad existence.
Well, she did live with the Wea Taylor. You know, they're under the bridge in that part of London that's just not so affluent.
This is my only friend, Otto.
Yep.
He's my best friend because he doesn't talk.
Then you get Charlotte Rampling being brought home from the nut house by her brother. And she's like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm going to be not subjected to being a mental patient anymore. It's like, oh, but you are, my dear. Here's your nurse. I'm going to take these pills and see my magic secret friend, Britt Eklund. And Britt Eklund's like, you don't kill people. It's me, honestly. Bond girl Britt Eklund.
Woman of your dreams.
She really got back in the day.
The woman of your dreams.
She was the woman of a lot of people's dreams. She was kind of like a Bo Derek before Bo Derek, except she wasn't sex trafficked into an illegal marriage like Bo Derek.
Jesus.
Look that up. Yeah.
I feel like that's a bonus episode right there.
John Derek was a sick person.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think she was 15 when they got married.
Ew. But yeah, you may also recognize her from The Wicker Man.
Yeah, she was in The Wicker Man. Yeah, yeah. Britt Eklund got around.
Not the Nicolas Cage one.
And Charlotte Rampling, you know, she certainly made her stamp at the time. Like, her star was kind of rising around then. Later on, she was in Orca and she was in Zardoz. She showed up a lot of places. And then the visiting psychiatrist gets to meet Herbert Lom, and Herbert Lom makes his dolls, and which he has imbued with life. And he's like, oh, doctor, you'd say they have batteries or they're wind up toys. Well, they're wind up toys, but you know, so they got guts in them.
Yeah.
and they stab Patrick McGee in the back of the head.
Man, Patrick McGee,
who you may remember from Dementia 13 and A Clockwork Orange. I'm pleased you enjoy good wine. Have another glass.
Yeah. That was kind of another, like, unintentionally funny part where the doctor's just talking to him. And then all of a sudden, I shouldn't say all of a sudden. I'm like, very slowly.
At least it didn't have the unholy, loud, blaring fucking music track playing.
Yes. What the hell was that?
I can remember from this fucking film.
What the classical music soundtrack?
Let's go with classical music soundtrack.
Well, it is, though.
Not blaringly raping your eardrums music. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I like that music. You got a night.
I know you do. I know you do.
Dun, dun, bum,
bum, dun, 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 level. Their thing was just screaming in your eardrum. Just fucking it.
This is going to be a scary movie.
Are they crazy or are they ghosts?
I wish there was something.
This is my kind of horror right here. I like.
I know it is.
Abominable Dr. Fibes, you know.
Oh, I know.
And the Christopher Lee Dracula movies.
Movies are vastly more entertaining. Yeah.
It's never like my horror selections. What the fuck with the two of you?
We have taste.
We have taste.
No.
When you watch our horror movies and you step on a doll, you don't see a bunch of weird-ass organs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was some voodoo shit between him and the doll.
Oh, God. He was
just
like,
could tell because they were using the Captain Kirk face lighting to let us know he is one with the doll and the doll is with him.
Yeah. It's 1972. That's how they did it. This is before The Exorcist. Horror was a different thing back then.
I know, but it was just...
You got to view all movies with the context of their times.
It's okay, Big Guy.
It's your thing. Yeah.
It is my thing.
It's your ice cream. You found your thing.
Did you find your special purpose?
Well, you know, we did your hokey German thing. Now we're doing my hokey British thing.
We're doing your interpretation thing. That's what we've been doing.
Well, was it? I don't know. Well, I guess you could call them killer dolls. I guess
they're dolls.
Killer
they're...
doll.
Well, he's got a bunch of them in a cupboard, but there's only one
yes,
that goes.
But he only uses
murder.
The one that had his likeness, and then he dies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and your movie had the one haunted vent figure, and Linda's the other one where the vent figure was an extension of Anthony Hopkins' mind. So, you know, yes. One's okay. We've been doing
I
one.
I know, I'm just one that clarified. There aren't killer dolls, just one killer doll.
Wait, can you also
you
consider
the
mannequin, Otto?
Yeah, you could. Well, I guess you could count Otto too. Yeah. I mean, there is such a thing as a life-size doll. I mean, sex dolls. We don't picture somebody fucking a little Barbie.
He has sex with a rubber doll. Maybe I don't agree with that at all. So,
you doing the rhyme game now? Your raps.
I'm just saying, death to the doll. yeah, so I think we know how Donnie feels about it.
Sounds like you're not wild
about
it,
Linda. How about you?
You guys didn't see the 1970 Tales from the Crypt or the old Vault of Horror?
Oh,
movie?
I had.
Okay,
I had.
Well, this is the same shit.
There's
as
also
though.
Hammer films, which were far better than this one.
I think Amicus was better than Hammer, honestly, because Hammer lost their spark by the early 70s.
I know.
I don't know.
No, Hammer was leading the curve in the 50s and the 60s, but by the 70s, they were losing it and started making shit like To the Devil a Daughter, and they went to non-existence until they did that movie with Harry Potter later.
Speaking of which, I just watched the, or I listened to our friend Chris's covering on, I saw it on Linden Street of To the Devil a Daughter. It was good stuff, really good stuff. But,
did he
so
mention
what were your
the other
on the movie, Linda?
Huh? Oh, I don't know. I feel like it was promising, but there were I don't know. It was just a little too ridiculous for me in parts. Like that the final story. I don't know. It's just a little too much for me. Where he's like,
okay.
I'm going to sleep now, but really I'm in a trance, a dull
trance.
Yeah,
he's going into his trance. Well, what about the wraparound though with Dr. Starr?
I wish it was a reach around. Oh, that one was, there was no point to that one for me.
It was awesome. He got all killed.
I legit was surprised because I didn't know that was a thing. I literally mean it. I could not remember anything of this movie.
Oh,
yeah, the opening scene where
watching this.
I thought you were saying you didn't know a wraparound was a thing.
That was a thing.
Yeah,
that
he
mattered?
Pulls up and there's a sign that it's run by Dr. B Star and he meets him. It's like, hi, I'm Patrick McGee from McCawker Gorn. She's like, where's Dr. Star? It's like, yeah, so I'm his associate. Dr. Star went insane. Go upstairs and interview the patients. Tell me which one of them is Dr. Star. It's like,
so, but we find out, like, the big thing is we find out that there's like a part that falls off of the sign with a B Star. It's actually R Star, and you find out that it's Ringo.
Oh.
Welcome to my asylum.
Don't go dissing Ringo. Oh, come on.
I never
the magic
would.
Christian.
I love Ringo.
Ringo's solo career is still better than Paul's. Fuck everybody.
I mean, yeah. Sorry, Paul.
Heads across the water, making up some shit.
And I mean, Yellow Submarine's my go-to drinking song. So, I mean,
it's.
I remember when we played on the Beatles Rock Band, and I told you you were not Ringo; you were being replaced because you really sucked at the drums.
I really do. I'm like more like animal. Like, oh. I don't know what I'm doing on the drums.
Like, and Linda then I just Bonham, end up, like...
Wasn't there a part where he was almost given like the Charlie Bucket ticket thing because he told him he failed his test?
Good day.
I know it's not a fever dream. I remember that.
Oh yeah. That right before Patrick McGee gets killed, he's all like, you couldn't even guess which one's Dr. Starr. And the twist is that you know, Patrick McGee's in a wheelchair. He never goes upstairs. He doesn't see Dr. Starr either, and he doesn't realize that Dr. Starr broke out, killed the orderly, and is acting as the orderly.
Yeah, he's like, you mustn't go in there.
So he didn't realize that he was in fact giving Robert Powell a trick question the whole time. I don't know if either of you has read Robert Block, but like this is kind of typical of him and like his horror slash humor, which you see a lot in his short stories. Like he's really fucking great at short stories. Like for horror short stories, I can't recommend him more. Like very unique. Like he's not really a cheesy throwaway.
But is he really so fucking great at great fucking?
And he's not that big a racist like others of the generation.
Yeah, no, unlike his friends Howard and Lovecraft, he wasn't fond of throwing around the N-word. He wasn't a typical 30s guy, but he was also a lot younger than them. But he was just a Midwest boy who loved his mama, and he was known to say, "Oh, you know me, I have the heart of a small child. I keep it on my desk." Yeah. Like really, really good at horror. Not always so great at science fiction. I've read a couple of different things from him. But all around great fella. When he actually wrote a sequel to his book Psycho around 1980, Psycho 2, right around the time the studios were thinking of making their Psycho 2, which was unrelated, and they tried to stop him, but legally they had no standing because his original contract, he negotiated it well, unlike some people. And so there was a Psycho 2 movie and a book Psycho 2, and they were unrelated.
It's more psycho.
Still psycho
after all these years. Still psyching.
So the director of this movie, Roy Ward Baker, had done a lot of work for Hammer. Because a lot of the guys who work for Amicus work for Hammer. They do either, just like
not
Peter
Hammer
Cushing.
Films, but MC.
That Linda. Baker did Scars of Dracula. And he also did a film that is very dear to my heart in childhood. The 1960s The Saint TV series with Roger Moore. There was a movie of that that actually got delayed and was released later as two episodes and then went to theaters. The Fiction Makers. That one Roy Wood Baker directed. I believe that is still streaming on Amazon right now. Really worth checking out. Very 60s. Very fun. Like kind of like spy fluff stuff.
Much wow.
Yeah. For me, Baker's movies are very comfortable. Very familiar.
Like some slippers.
Yeah, like some poofy pink slippers on your tooters.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say on my twatters? Wait a minute.
No. You're the only person who says that.
Oh, that's true.
Just like how the rest of us say the word nudity, and you can't say it for some reason.
Nudity.
You got that stutter somehow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your unabsorbed twin is in your skull, and there's in that speech region, and
what?
It just won't come out right.
Nudity. See.
No nudity, no doubt.
Yeah. See, I say it just right.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. You do every time.
Every time. So.
I've got the only movie where a doll stabs a person under its own power. Just saying.
But is it really out under its own power? I mean, it's being powered.
Yeah, she gave
by
it
the
life,
trains.
Doctor.
Yeah. And batteries.
By the way, Herbert Lom, for those listeners who don't know, you probably know him as Inspector Dreyfus in the original Pink Panther series, who frequently went insane.
Or Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, and he was also in the Dead Zone with Christopher Walken.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. But you know, this is my time. I love all these people. These are my peeps.
You know? This is Adrian's time, right here, right now.
Yep. 10 years before I was born. This is my time.
So do you have any information about Amy?
Oh yeah, what about her? How's she doing? Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy?
Yeah, Amy.
Where is my money? Where is it at? Okay, so unfortunately, this is another case where I could not discover a budget. Or, in fact, box office totals. For some reason, people aren't into keeping records from 1972. In fact, we found out the other week that they weren't really into keeping records from 1985 either.
Because it didn't happen.
Yeah. In fact, most of the reliable information that you're going to find out about box office totals is from 1986 onward. Which might not be a coincidence because movies have become more money-centric since then. But I can tell you what else was in release at the time that people were able to see this in the theater. For example, Daughters of Satan was out. You may recall, yeah, witch calls him some
chipmunks. That's
fucking Tom Selleck. Goddammit. Yeah. 1776, the musical with William Daniels was out at that time.
Shit, yeah. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Somebody open up a window.
Open up a window.
Also in theaters, actually released, I think the same day, was Dracula AD 1972. That's the movie that Donnie would have seen instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fellini's Roma was out. Hickey and Boggs with Robert Culp and Bill Cosby, back when Bill Cosby was just that guy from I Spy. Night of the Lepus was actually still in theaters.
Oh, yeah. If you like Bun Buns.
You can see giant killer bunnies. And a couple of weeks later, The Asphyx came out. Uh-huh. And Man of La Mancha with Peter O'Toole. The Poseidon Adventure. And a month later, The Getaway with Steve McQueen. So for you movie history enthusiasts, that's where this is grounded.
A lot of good movies in that list.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know, Superfly came out that year. Superfly. The Last House on the Left, Junior Bonner.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, depressing movie.
Last House on the Left?
Yeah. Although it does have that part, like, where you're like, yeah.
There's a reason that movie stands out, you know, as amateurish and cheap as it is. Like it changed everything too, like, cuz anytime a movie comes along and you get that they used to call it a documentary quality, you know, where it wasn't shot mm-hmm. super slick and cinematic, you know, but and yet there's believable violence taking place, people would literally lose their shit. Like they'd have to change the seats in that theater. Like when Cannibal Holocaust came.
Big underground hit.
Yeah. Mm. And then all of a sudden, all the exploitation movies that came out would have to say on their poster, bloodier than Last House on the Left. In fact, Sam Peckinpah, who was known for his violence, there was an interview with him from then. They're saying it's like, so now there's those Last House on the Left type movies. And they're saying bloodier than The Wild Bunch. And Peckinpah's like, I don't give a fuck about that. Yeah, I've been too busy drinking.
Peckinpah.
Yeah.
Peckinpah.
The guy was a fucking stage 10 alcoholic, but he always knew what he was doing when he was making those movies.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. But you know, like, you know, these are auteurs. We love auteurs. But you know, there's sometimes something comforting about the workmanlike filmmakers. Who, you know, they're not geniuses necessarily, you know, but they know what they're doing and they can deliver up the product. Because like it's as much as I fucking love artistic films, and my favorite films are movies that made no money, that 90% of the population will never have heard of and never care about if they saw them.
That's Adrian's realm.
You like a cute little commercial movie sometimes, you know, like The Ambushers with Dean Martin.
Okay.
Like, you know. Yeah. Anyway, it's more on that level that I enjoy Asylum. But aesthetically, I thought it was strong. I think they handled it really well. You get a lot of good lighting, despite the fact that it's still in that period where you're in general, you're going to use that I Love Lucy quality production lighting.
It didn't really have much lighting.
Yeah.
There's the Weird Taylor has a lot in that one. That one's very shadowy. True. Yeah.
You
get his shop, like he can't, like he only turns the light on when a customer comes in because he's at, you know, the landlord, you know, he can't pay the rent, you know, so he's like literally having to pinch pennies. And then he goes over to Peter Cushing's house, and Peter Cushing also can't afford to have the lights on. He's got a fucking candelabra. And for the material for the suit, they used that same 3M material that they used the front screen projection special effect from Superman and from 2001 A Space Odyssey, where it reflects more light than glass does. You know, it reflects more light than things around it. So you can light it only, and the other things in the scene will not be affected by it. So that's why it changes colors and the things around it don't. So that was done live. That wasn't done as an optical post effect, which I thought was cool. Practical effects are always fun.
You know. That's awesome. I mean, you just learned something today, too.
And this movie was shot at Shepperton Studios, which you may know from having been where they shot also 2001 A Space Odyssey, Alien, and Blade Runner.
And horses.
And they don't they? Oh. I love Jane Fonda so much.
Me too. She's a fucking treasure.
She's fucking great.
God, I love her so much.
That's why I like 9 to 5. That movie's like the best treat ever.
You
just want to hang out with all those girls, you know. It's like you could find out that they did the worst atrocities in history. You wouldn't care. They're them. You know?
Lily Tomlin on the side kills kittens, like strangles kittens.
At the Alarm Center, my friend Amanda, she would say of Dolly Parton, she says she could do anything and I'd forgive her. She could shoot the president, I'd be fine with it.
Like, oh, Dolly.
Oh. Yeah, it's just Dolly.
And she'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
Or more like, ah.
Like the other week when we covered Magic, that's how I feel about Anne Margaret. Like, yeah. I just fucking love her. Mm. Like, it is a deep, abiding love.
Yes, that, indeed. I feel that's the same way about Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, they're fucking great. Like, some people just, like, transcend everything that way. Everything they do is magic.
On the side, I like to drown kittens in the river.
Like, yeah, somebody could tell you that they did that. Like it's like it wouldn't even register. It'd be like, oh yeah, they're great, like, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's Lily Tomlin.
Well, somebody was trying to tell me that Marvin Gaye may in fact have like been killing hookers his entire career, and I'm like,
oh wow.
But come on, man, he did What's Going On. Come on. Brother,
guys,
brother.
Bill Cosby sold pudding. Yeah, and Leonard Six, hello. You didn't need to see the other five to know that Six was going to be great.
You remember though when those allegations came out? You're an 80s kid too. That went down hard. You're like, not Mr. Cosby.
It did.
He's Mr. Huxtable. He wouldn't. No.
Seriously,
though.
He's
going to bring out his giant marker and write out rape on a board for us? Characters?
Yeah, it's like you really didn't want to believe it.
I would rape to her a tuba.
God damn it.
It's like, I mean, we all believe it now because the evidence is overwhelming, but like the love and the hate, like the change is so sharp.
It fucked with me. Like, it fucked with me hardcore because, like you're saying, I was like, that's Dr. Huxtable.
He was part of our consciousness back then. Like, he was part of the 1980s mental identity.
Yeah.
If you go back to anything from like the early 90s or the 80s and you look at commercial breaks from back then, he's on every one of them.
Yeah. I mean,
he just lived with you, man.
And almost anybody else could have done that. And you'd be like, oh yeah, that guy always looked fucking shady. But Bill Cosby is
Jared from Subway, you believe it right away. Like, oh yeah, look at that fucker. God damn.
That guy's probably raping somebody right now while he's filming this commercial.
Jared kind of raped us with his presence, but Bill Cosby, you know, it's like we were all so comfortable with him, and he was like the guardian of morality for a little while there, you know, and it's just
Did any of you put Cosby in your script doctors?
Don't believe
that I'm the doctor. I'm not. I'm gonna stab and choke you.
You thought this one was Dr. Star. You thought that one was Dr. Star. No, that was Dr. Star.
I'm gonna choke you now, and you're gonna make the face go. Ooh.
What are you talking about? He's been strangled. He hasn't been strangled. He just had some movie star Kool-Aid. I put it in the Jell-O pudding.
God damn it! Y'all are going to hell. Y'all need Jesus.
You don't have Cosby.
God damn it! He's free now.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes, he's a free man.
Well, he'll never be loved again. So.
So.
Shit.
And on that note.
And then they cut up the pieces of Cosby and they come back and kill him.
Rest in pieces, Cosby.
Crawling on the floor in butcher paper.
And she tries to get him with the axe, but it's too quick for her.
You can just stand there screaming, looking at the pieces slowly wiggling toward you, and we'll be running to the car.
Yeah, okay,
that's like zombies though. Like it's not about the it's
hey,
not about
back in
that
your generation, they were called ghouls, not zombies.
I see. You know, you're trying to roll me into an old folks home, eh?
And while we're at it,
in the fruit cellar.
Word of advice to the ladies and to some of the husbands. If you're in an unhappy marriage and it's obvious that your partner is just there for your money, and you're making them stick into this loveless marriage, and they say, I've got something for you. It's in the basement. You generally don't want to follow them.
What is it, Harry?
What did he really want at that
it's fridge? It's in the crate, dear. Just go to the crate.
Yeah.
She really wanted that fridge. She just didn't think that she'd be in it.
That's why I couldn't laugh when he did the rest in pieces thing, because to me it still doesn't beat the just tell it to call you Billy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, good times.
Even King and cocaine.
Even King with cocaine. Yeah, meteor.
If you've ever read Park Ashton Smith's Return of the Sorcerer, it was kind of like that. I always like that, you know, hands walking around like spiders.
You know what? I guess we'll get to that later. But Donnie, did you find any reviews?
But he wrote something.
Oh, I did.
Oh, hold on.
Laughed my ass off, especially at the end. Not scary. If you want a better rendering of the Taylor segment from this anthology, please see Boris Karloff's thriller, The Weird Taylor. And Jerry Goldsmith's score for that thriller episode is exquisite.
Exquisite.
That show really wasn't that good.
One of the best anthology films ever made? What? It's got to be close to the worst of all time anthology movie ever made. Oh my God. Body parts are scooting across the floor and I can't step over them? No, I must look into the room where he told me not to look instead of taking a diamond ring and minding my own business. I bailed.
Apparently that guy hasn't seen much anthology horror. I mean, most of it really is just shit.
Absolutely the worsted movie I've ever watched in my life of 50 years.
Worsted?
It's like
so
yarn.
Bad,
I never learned it dispelled it.
Funny. W-O-R-S-T-E-D.
Like worsted weight yarn.
So they lived to 50, so they're in Iowa someplace, yeah?
Yeah. Some good stars, poor script and direction, though. Shepperton Studios made some pretty enjoyable horror about this time in the swinging 60s, but this ain't one of them. Mostly boring, no scares, ho-hum.
They know that the studios just rent the space, right? They don't actually do the production.
I honestly can't remember what happened in this movie, but I paid for it. Boring as shit, but kind of funny. Not shocking, very slow moving, dull stories. There was no build up, and when started, it was like random low imagination thought situations.
Random low imagination situation?
Weird movie. The only thing creepy about it was that the lighting sucked. Scenes were so dark, as usual. Nothing scary here at all. Just stupid predictable, which made it even more boring. An entire hour and a half. But I got my nails done, and they look great. So all is not lost.
Are they like one of those birds where if you cover their cage, they get bored and go to sleep?
I don't know. This movie was so bad, we actually threw it away before we finished the DVD. It was bad enough that we would have felt dumb for passing it on to someone else. Wow. I think the good reviews must come from people who feel nostalgic about it. The acting is pretty bad, and the story is silly. And a review made a month ago. This review was made a month ago, and I have to give them some credit because they seem to have a thing going in the first person.
Oh.
This is from a user, FartNaka27.
I saw that, and I love it. I love it so much.
FartNaka27 was coloring during this flick, yes! So was kind of looking up and down a lot. From what I got, it was okay. Nothing great. Not enough death and destruction for old FartNaka27, but it was a good background. I felt like I was watching Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
Okay, FartNaka27.
That showed up on Shudder, and I was I wish I could like his.
The fact that they were coloring.
FartNaka27. I totally
condemn them, but this one, okay, all right. Oh. People should follow that person.
Yes, yeah. We like FartNaka27.
But FartNaka27 is taking us into their life.
Yes. I like it. There was a story. They led us on an adventure.
I can relate. I color too. Cool.
Oh, FartNaka27. Hit us up.
Oh, for making us laugh about love again.
Donnie.
Did either of you guys see Dr. Terror's House of Horror with Donald Sutherland? And Christopher Lee.
No, but I like Donald Sutherland. I especially like Donald Sutherland.
Nude. Thank him.
Yeah. She would.
I said nude.
Did you see Torture Garden in which Jack Palance is a Poe collector who kills another Poe collector to get his super secret special Poe item, which turns out to be the living Edgar Allan Poe?
I thought you said Poe collector.
Like me, because I'm from the Eastern Bloc.
I like Poe.
I want to get with you and take your picture.
The legend of Curly's Pole.
When you get that pierogi, it's like, come here and hold me.
Believe it or not.
Just me and Martha Stewart, we hang out. What can I say?
You'll have to find it on your own. But there's an episode that was funny as fuck just for the segment alone. But it was I think it was Warrior of Lore. I'm probably wrong, but it was a Mystery Science Theater episode, and they were trying to read excerpts from Jack Palance's book.
Oh yeah, yeah. At day 25, missed call, wandered into the shot, and they decided to keep it. What the heck does Avanti Avanti mean? I was just thinking about that last night. Weird. Yeah, that was on really Outlaw crazy. Outlaw of Gore.
Yeah.
Which I fucking, not only did I first see that, I first saw that without riffing, and I also read the book. I also read the fucking book that that was based on.
Of course you did.
That was one of the first riffs where Lucille lost her mind laughing because the woman going, "You pathetic worm."
Yeah. That was that movie was an example of Golan Globus being like, you know, making a sequel later is hard. We'll just make both of them right at the start, little knowing that there'd be no market for them.
Yeah.
But the fucking John Norman Gore series, like I'd see them on shelves in the science fiction section in all the used paperback stores because like Dell would put out loads of them, you know. It'd be like, oh, look, these have Boris Vallejo color paintings and they're Sword and Planet and they look really cool and like people fight and shit. And what you don't realize from that is that when you get into the books, like, yeah, there might technically be swords and planets and there might like sort of be an adventure going on. But what it's really about is rape.
No.
John Norman loves rape. It's his favorite. His entire philosophy is that women all want it.
Wow. So he's
and when
like,
they say no, it just means rape them more.
The first incel?
Yeah. This is a guy who was a professor at a New York university for years and was married the whole time. And I get the feeling in real life, his wife's all like, yeah, you're done writing your book for today. We got to buy you a new suit. Come on. Like, no, leave me alone, you evil woman. I'm the master of you. And I'll get in the station wagon. You ride in the back.
Jodorowsky was kind of on the rape train a few times.
Jesus.
So.
His method acting is different.
That was his premise for the Dune movie he never got to make. So
looked like it would have been so awesome.
Yeah,
but instead we
just all
Topo.
Decided to get together and make Alien instead,
which is good. You know, I love Alien. You know, I wouldn't want to live in a world where Alien hadn't happened.
Fair.
Yeah, no, but John Norman, like huge fandom since the mid-60s. Like people live their lives around his books, and his entire philosophy is just being a huge, huge piece of shit to women.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been one of those episodes.
Yeah, we got Cosby earlier. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
Good. It's October. You're supposed to be spoopified.
Not spoopified, just uncomfortable.
But doctor,
you can
see
that's how you do a proper haunted house. You don't make people feel really uncomfortable instead of spooked.
Linda did it, you see? She's right there.
We'll get our cousin David to just sit in a chair in a big room where your chair is right next to him. And he just smiles at you the whole time. Like, hey.
You guys and your fucking cousins, I swear.
Hey, you know, Jane Fonda drowned a couple of kittens.
Wow, really?
Maybe.
Jane Fonda. That's I love her work on video. She's so beautiful.
But see, Bill Cosby raped like, women. Not, people wouldn't be crapping themselves. They would just be pounding on the door for us to let them out.
Like, I'm too uncomfortable. I need an adult. Let me out.
This house feels like a sex crime.
This house is a trigger warning. Like, let me out.
Don't call it the trigger house.
Oh, God damn it.
People mess with signs.
Oh, okay.
Anything can happen on Halloween.
When do you remember when you lived in Backache Boulevard?
Yes.
Oh. Backache apartments.
Yeah, that's true.
That sign got stolen like daily.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I wish I was a kid again. So anyway, as Dottie said, anything can happen on Halloween. So, with that
every
spirit,
town has an Elm Street.
Do you guys want to play Mad Scientist or Mad Doctor?
my doctor. How dare you?
I was just hoping we could keep going on with the uncomfortable silence.
See, we're adding to the spoopiness you feel.
Are you uncomfortable yet?
It's like people that start a sentence and then don't finish it, and then they continue it a few seconds later.
it's one way to talk.
Yeah.
I suppose it's
Welcome to Videorama's House of Uncomfortableness.
Give a picture.
I'm going to stand dangerously close to you, and I'll just smile.
Why can't I paint you?
I wonder where that fish could be.
Fishy. Where the poisson?
Where
I go? Adrian, I volunteer you. I choose you.
Already.
That's more like the soundtrack.
It's 1973, and we're getting a sequel. Robert Bloch's The Haunter of the Dark, a sequel to Asylum. Robert Powell doesn't know he's dead, so he goes to a small, creepy, spoopy New England town, and they can see that clock tower from all over that town. What the fuck with there? The locals won't admit it exists, even though it's really obvious up there. So he finds his way over and gets into the attic, where the creepy entity comes out of the trunk. Ooh, spoopalicious! And it won't let him go. First, it must tell him five tales of terror. Bum-ba-da-da-da! Including The Outsider, which will prove to be earlier prolific for the final twist of the film. And, you know, probably four other Robert Bloch stories. Jill St. John will be in it. Let's see. Let's do Jack Palance, since we mentioned him earlier, you know, when he was doing some shit. They'll bring back Peter Cushing as a different character entirely. Donald Pleasance will be in there. It'll be directed by Freddie Francis. He can also photograph it. And, yeah, there you go. The Haunter of the Dark.
Don.
I couldn't really come up with one, so the only thing I could come up with is that it's a TV show featuring Lou Diamond Phillips as a mad scientist.
Yay!
And he shares five deadly experiments that he's made, and the stories of how they became experimental monsters. And whoever it is he tells the story to ends up becoming a monster by the end, and I guess we'll call it Weird Science.
Something like a recipe. Da, 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 da.
Voodoo Dolls and
Good
Chance.
Old Lou Diamond Phillips.
Who sang that song?
Yeah, that was his song.
It's part of Oingo Boingo before Danny Elfman.
I'm pretty sure it was the Pointer Sisters who sang Weird Science.
Yeah.
As most our listeners would know.
Was it an ABC that did that one?
Yes.
And everything's good in the world
it
tonight.
It was a remake of the Aretha Franklin classic, Science is Weird.
What are you saying that Soft Cell didn't originate that? Are you going to show me the raw data? I think your claims are spurious.
Well, according to Google, it looks like Billie Holiday actually sang a classic blues rendition of Weird Science.
We would just like to apologize to our listeners because we don't want to put any bad data out there.
That's got his own.
If you peel away the owl.
Don't know why.
Skin now?
There's no syrup in the sky.
Linda, I can't help it Stormy if I enjoy weather. Classic music, okay? Especially early blues and jazz.
It was definitely a product of its time. It was all about racism. And, you know, people would always say it's like, it's strange fruit. And then Weird Science, like, always. Although sometimes Weird Science had more of an impact.
Are we problematic?
People might think,
good
you know, Lady Sings the Blues was big, but not as big as Dead Man's Party, apparently. But that's really if you're a true fan of the underground music.
Of the art.
Yes.
And it was then that Linda realized that was the only episode Danny Elfman ever listened to. And yeah, thought, like, fuck these anymore. Guys.
It wasn't actually Frankie that says relax. It was Lucille Bogan. Yeah. Her lyrics were slightly more explicit, though.
And Danny Elfman thought, who the fuck is this? I hate them.
And Linda fine. These people money?
And Linda died.
He's no Jerry Goldsmith, so to hell with him.
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, I'll say it again, motherfucker. Come over here and fight me.
All right. Johnny Hoffman's my music god. You saying it was Red Skelton who sang it the whole
time. I'll bust my bag leg off and beat you over the head with it.
So, Dottie, what did... Oh, you just shared yours.
Yeah, how about yours? God damn it,
mother trucker.
Okay, for
so
mine.
So in Linda's, Danny Elfman and Idris Elba riding on a unicorn.
Oh,
god damn it,
spoopy.
That's nice. That's real nice, actually. And that brings us back to Jane Fonda, because for a while, Danny Elfman was married to Bridget. So, daughter of Jane.
And he couldn't prevent her from doing that terrible movie with Nicolas Cage. He was powerless to stop it. His life was just like the King of Marvin Gardens. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Actually... I felt like a movie did do the first story way better, and that would be Frankenhooker, that had all the monster prostitute body parts coming alive to...
They can't all be Frankenhooker.
Exactly, which is a shame. And so I feel like that already did that better. And Dolls did the wind-up toy part way better. Yeah.
But it's not obscure, so none of us could pick that one.
We almost did. It's pretty not well-known. It's a video store curiosity.
See, I always knew that one, but way before I saw it.
Yeah. Well, Donnie pointed out that because that was going to be one of my choices, but Donnie pointed out that it just left Shudder. So,
Shudder!
I couldn't have chosen that anyway.
Whereas my selection was still on Shudder.
Another one of my choices was going to be... Yes, Donnie and I both wanted to do Doll Man, but he's not really a killer doll.
No, so, and he's still just a man.
He's just Tim Thomerson.
Just a doll of a man.
Little dancing man. No, okay.
So I was thinking the way around that would be to do Doll Man versus Demonic Toys.
The Albert Byun classic.
Here we are.
Oh no, you had to pick a good movie. Ah!
Oh! But with the genre just in general, I would say that I would place... Okay, so here's my story. Okay, so this woman, let's have her played by Madeline Kahn, because I love Madeline Kahn. And her husband keeps... fucking this sex doll, and she's getting jealous, right? Because she's not getting it. She's just like, why are you giving it to this doll and not to me? What the fuck? So she works some magic, perhaps a voodoo, in a sex doll, love doll factory, and makes them all evil. And so this movie is now all about all these sex dolls going around ripping the dicks off of the their owners. Yeah.
Is there still an asylum in it?
Yeah, because all these owners, these packageless owners
Oh, I see. Every cell has an inmate whose dick got ripped off by a sex doll, and Robert Powell just doesn't believe them.
A eunuch.
Yeah, he's like, oh, so you're crazy. Got it. Okay. And then
if it had been the 1950s, I'm like, oh, you got no dick? Oh, you're crazy, so obviously.
He goes
anything
to
without
one.
A penis is crazy.
He goes to one cell, and they're like, it was a sex doll. Ripped my dick off. And then he's like, oh, that's weird. Okay, that's a weird story. And then he goes to the second cell.
You should use that
cell.
As your title. Yeah.
And the second cell, the guy says, it's a sex doll. Rip my dick off. And he's like, wow, that's really weird. And then he goes
to the third
cell. But they
got to take 5 to 10 minutes to tell the flashback about how the sex doll ripped their dick off.
And every single cell is just like, his sex doll ripped my dick off. And then he's like, wow, this is getting kind of weird. And I'm uncomfortable now because I have a dick, too.
Dr. Madeline Kahn, we'll see about that.
Toward the end, he opens up the supply closet. He's like, what's this? A sexy sex doll?
Don't mind if I don't. Oh,
hey-o! I'm gonna fuck this doll in the closet because that's what I. Oh no! It ripped my dick off. And then flash forward. Well, actually, like you pan in on his face where he's like, oh! And then you pan out. And he's wearing a straitjacket. He's like, oh! And the new doctor comes in and he tells him, the sex doll, it ripped my dick off.
And I was actually hoping you were going to say there was a closet that was just full of ripped off dicks that yeah. just come pouring out.
Just stacked like cordwood.
Yeah, and then you have Madeline Kahn come out. That was my dick closet.
Hey, and no, don't look in there.
It's a cigar humidor.
And then he looks at her like there's a pile of dicks now. What the hell? And she's like, I told you not to go.
Girls gotta eat.
And then Terry Thomas pops up and says, can't you do anything neatly? Can't you? Can't you?
Oh, and it's going to be called Death to the Doll.
Okay. Mm. Investors, contact Linda.
I gotcha. So what? Anything left to say?
Madeline Kahn has excellent bone structure.
She does. Or did.
Yeah. Well.
Is she a size 13?
You're like, what, a size 14?
Taffeta, darling.
In a coat of dicks, she comes walking.
Good God.
So with that, I guess I say please, please, please listen, follow, rate, and review. Cage's Kiss. Video Rama.
Don't review Cage's Kiss. Don't bother.
Fuck those guys. on Apple Podcasts, because it helps with the algorithm, the algorithm. It helps other people find us, and it helps boost us to the top. It's like a Wonder Bra algorithm. So please, please give us a review. And if you do, it will earn you an on-air shout out. So yes, please, you could have your 5 minutes of fame. And speaking of on-air shout out, you could also support us much like a Wonder Bra does on Patreon. We're over on patreon.com/videoramapod. And there you, at certain levels, you can get buttons, you can get stickers, you could get a guest spot on our lovely show. You can even suggest a theme that we should cover for a whole month, or you could suggest a movie that we cover. So,
yeah,
check it out.
Turn your brother into a cat.
So, yeah, go check it out. And remember, you can find Videorama on Twitter at VideoramaP. And you could write to us at VideoramaP. @gmail.com. That's it, right? Yeah. Okay. Videorama Pod.
So.
VideoRamaPod@gmail.com.
Oh.
I can read. And check out our stuff on YouTube if you're not already, in which case you could see our uncomfortable silence and me scratching my ass.
Well, better them seeing it than having the audio version with big old gaps in it.
That is true.
Yeah.
Donnie, get a wind sound effect for this one. Yeah.
So check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all different mijos. We also talk about heroic animals and just plain awesome animals in our favorite familiar segments. Like Little Boob. And Sergeant Stubby, my favorite. Oh, my God. I still got to get a tattoo of Stub Life. Also, you could check me out in the second season of Four's a Crowd as Mrs. Halverson. So, Adrian, what you got going on?
Lieutenant Murphy and that's you. Still guard the Arby's. No, which one am yes. I? I'm the guy who's on deviantart.com as Leo the Fox, LEOTHEFOX, all lowercase, all run together, all one word. I got my first art thief this week.
What?
I've been on there for 15 years, and this is the first time I've had my art stolen.
Wow.
There was an account that also stole from a friend of mine, and they pointed it out. They also stole my icon and posted it twice.
Congratulations.
I don't know. It's kind of flattering. I mean, I also got a Dewey deviation, which is really good.
Notice of your work.
Yes, somebody took notice. Yeah. But yeah,
loyal follower.
thanks, person in Malaysia who stole a bunch of shit and called it their own.
And if you go to his site on DeviantArt, you could also see his art where he's ripping dicks off.
No, Lupita. Oh, although I did once get a fave from a person like that, and their gallery was very frightening. But later that got banned, and I felt safer. artists out there, when somebody favorites their work, just don't look at their other favorites. You'll feel better. It's all I don't get it. I take photos of puppies, and this is all girls' butts. The holes spread. What's this got to do with the puppy photo? I don't get it. Did you not look?
Caper.
It doesn't matter what you were doing. They put it in there with their girl butts.
Gaping.
The gaping.
Still better than
gaping.
A Fuda folder.
It's like the new code. It'll be around forever.
Donnie, where can the people find your Fuda folder?
Also on DeviantArt under the Arby special. I'm Stilgar the Twi'lek on something of Instagram. I'm Unreal Goals on the Twitter, as well as on the U of Tube.
Ooh.
I have something spoopular-tacularly coming out soonishly. And yeah, that's about all I can sell you aside some Fuda.
And patient tweaky, YouTube viewers can watch us at 2x speed.
There is nothing twinky about Fuda, believe me.
Twinkie Twi'leks.
Donnie, did you hear that Pretty Derby is out? I'm going to look for fan art.
Oh, my.
So
summer sausages, people.
Oh, I actually want a summer sausage. I'm vegetarian and I want a summer sausage.
You're vegetarian right now? Summer. How long has that been going on?
Like half a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bacon almost always brings me back, though, so we'll see how long this lasts.
Bacon come back. You can blame it all on me.
On cheese.
I was born, and I just can't do it without you.
So next week, we'll be joined by an amazing guest.
Really? Okay. Really? Mm-hmm. Who?
Adrian's grandma.
What?
See what they choose.
Oh, yeah, you think I pick old movies? My grandma will tell you about something she saw in the 40s.
Called striptease.
I ripped a man's dick off with my bare hands.
Well, think about the striptease and you get the Burt Reynolds. Off.
It's not easy.
Wow, things are hard in the 40s. I did it yesterday.
She's got that meth focus.
Oh, God.
Grant's grandma's got that meth focus.
Just because she lives in an area with a lot of meth doesn't mean she's meth focused, you bastards. Oh. Fuck.
And until then, Donnie killed kid.
You try living in fucking Buffalo without doing a lot of meth.
With meth focus.
With meth focus.